The enemy wants us to think we're a victim, and you know that I'll never get better, things will never change, I'm oppressed, and this is never ever going to change. But that's not the way God looks at things. He calls you a victor.
You're listening to From Glory to Glory Ministries with Tina Howard, bringing you the uncompromised Word of God to mature the body of Christ with revelation and power. Get ready to walk in victory in every facet of life. Join today as we learn and grow together in the knowledge of God so we can go from glory to glory together. Here's your host, Tina Howard.
So today we're continuing our study about Occupied Till I Come, and we are looking at how the enemy works, the characteristics of the devil. Now, we've looked at four already. Last week, we looked at the lies he tells us. We looked at how he comes against even our identity, our own gender. You know, there's only two genders, male and female, and the enemy comes to people and makes them question what gender they are, and that is not of God at all. So that's a trick of the enemy. The enemy also uses deceit. He'll come at you with half-truths about God's word, doubting God's word. He will come at you with fear, and he'll also come at us with ridicule. And we looked at that the week before last. Know Your Enemy, Part 3. We're going to look at today a couple of his tricks. But first, you know, I want to look at, we talked a lot about the enemy, and I want to talk about God for a few minutes, okay? So let's look at God. Let's look at how great and good and how loving our God is. I want to go first to Psalm 91, and I'm going to read this in the Amplified, one verse here. Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. Our God is mighty. No foe can stand against our God. Amen. No foe at all. The enemy, he has tricks, but they're not more powerful than our God. Amen. Our God is the most powerful. He is all powerful, omniscient. He has all power. And if we will submit to him and resist the devil has to flee. Amen. So let's look at a couple of more scriptures about how our God is so good to us. Let's look at Acts 10:38. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Amen. So God was with Jesus, and because Jesus was anointed, then he went about doing good. Our God is good. He is good. He is not out bringing harm to people. He's a good God. The devil, on the other hand, is scheming against you. He's got strategies. He wants to come and steal, kill, and destroy everything you have. That's John 10:10. If it's your marriage, if it's your mind, if it's your children, if it's your finances, whatever it is, he can get, he's come, he is going to try to get it from you. But our God, if we will follow after God, submit to him, the devil has to flee. One last scripture I want to look at, and that's Colossians 2:15. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. When Jesus was crucified, when he died on that cross, and he went into hell, and he took the keys from the enemy, and he paraded him like a defeated foe. Because he is. Now, he doesn't want us to know that he's a defeated foe. So he still comes at us. He still has his minions. They're still working against us. And if we bow to that power, then we're going to fall. But if we will realize who our God is and what he has done already on the cross, that he has taken the power from the enemy, if we will stand in that, then we are just like the Bible says, we will conquer all. He has made us more than a conqueror. We always overcome everything, but we have to do it in his power, not our own. Amen. No, regardless of what the enemy tries, whatever trick it is, and he's got a lot of them, and we know it, we're learning his characteristics, but our God is more powerful. So let's continue. Let's look at a couple of more tricks that the enemy has. He comes with temptation. In Matthew chapter 4, after Jesus was baptized, then the Spirit took him into the wilderness, and he was tempted of the devil. He fasted for 40 days. He didn't eat anything. And then the enemy came to tempt him until it says he left for a more opportune time. So the enemy came and tempted Jesus. In that temptation, he never did sin. And he was setting a precedent for us. We can be tempted, but we don't have to fall for it. Amen. So let's look at James 1. I'm going to read 12 through 14. It says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those that love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed." And let's finish with 15. "Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." So the enemy comes with temptation. God does not do that. The enemy is the one who comes with temptation. And so he comes at us and he presents a solicitation to evil. He knocks on the door and says, "Hey, you want to do this? You want to look where you shouldn't be looking? You want to go where you shouldn't be going? You want to drink what you shouldn't be drinking? You want to say things out of your mouth? You want to hear things you shouldn't be hearing?" That's what the devil does. And he presents it, "Oh, it's so much better. You know, the grass is always greener on the other side, right? But you know it's not. As soon as you get over there, it looks the same. It's the same color." And then what is he going to do? Oh, he's going to berate you because you fell for it. But we have to remember, to be tempted is not a sin. I just read that right there. Now, if you give in to the temptation, then it brings forth sin. And when sin brings forth death, that means death to whatever it is that you gave in to that temptation. There's death there. Death to a marriage, death to relationships, death to your finances because you spent so much money. You know, death to whatever it is that you gave into that temptation. So that's what the enemy is trying to do. Remember John 10:10. Jesus said, "I am come that I may give you life and life more abundantly." But the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he wants whatever you have. So don't let him have it. So let's look at another one. Oh, this was one that probably we have all fell to, and that is condemnation. The Bible says in Romans 8, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Now, condemnation is what happens when you have a guilty conscience, or when the enemy comes at you and he's always condemning you. What does it mean to condemn? Well, this is how the Lord showed me a few years ago. When you have a house and the house is damaged, and then you have that yellow tape over it that says condemned, it's not fit to live in. And see, that's what the devil wants to make you think about yourself, is that you're not fit for the Spirit of the living God to indwell you. But you are. Because if you have received Jesus as your Savior, if you have said, "I believe Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God, I believe God, you raised him from the dead, and I believe it in my heart and I confess it with my mouth, he lives inside of you." So don't listen to the enemy's lies. Remember the scriptures about who you are in Christ Jesus? You are the apple of his eye. You are his beloved. You are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's who Jesus made you. When you accepted him as your Savior, you came in and those old things are passed away. And behold, all things have become new. So the enemy comes at us with condemnation, but that is not what God says. You know, something else he does is he accuses us. He accuses us to God. And he accuses us to ourselves. He accuses others to us. What does it mean to accuse? To charge someone with an offense or crime. Blame, charge, allege, brand, denounce, implicate, attribute, point the finger at. Oh, the enemy does that really good, doesn't he? He point the finger at you. You're such a bad person. You can't do anything right. You're a terrible mother. You're a terrible father. You're just, why are you even here? You know, that's the enemy. That is the enemy. He is the accuser of the brethren. The Bible tells us that. It also means to hang something on, to slander, impute, impeach, incriminate. All those are words for accuse. And that's what the enemy does. He comes and he accuses us. And that's a trick of the enemy, and we can't fall for it. But what if we do fall for it? What do? This is what we do. We cry out to a merciful God. And we say, God, I thank you that you're so good. I thank you, God, that your mercy is everlasting, that it doesn't run out. You know, there is a Hebrew word. It's C-H-E-S-E-D, chesed. And it means that it is a loyal love. It is a love. It demands that it be fulfilled. It's an obligatory love. So God is obligated to show us that mercy when we run to him. And see, what the enemy does is he tries to push down, push you down, push you down, push you away from God. And what does God do? His arms are open wide. Always. His arms are always open wide to us. The enemy doesn't want you to know that. See, he doesn't want you to know that he's a defeated foe and that your God loves you so much that he sent his only son. He doesn't want you to know that. He doesn't want you to act on that. But God acts on that every time. He is obligated to the love and to the blood of Jesus to forgive us. Why? Because he loves us. We know we're not perfect. We know the people around us aren't perfect, but we have the blood. We have the blood of Jesus. And if we are going to occupy until Jesus comes back, then we have to be fully aware of the tricks of the enemy. And we have to stand against that. We have to stand on God's word and operate as a mature believer so that we can say, not this time, devil. He is our worst enemy. He truly is our worst enemy. And a worst enemy, you hate. Have you ever told the devil, I hate you? I've told him that many times. I'm like, I hate you, devil. I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. That's the only person, thing, creature that we can hate is the devil. Sin and evil, we can hate that. But that is the only creature that we can hate is the devil. And when we hate him, then we will turn to God. Amen. And it will cause us to repent and turn to God when we know that our God loves us. And when we do that, then he will always open his arms wide. He will receive us back. Our God is good. Amen. The enemy wants us to think we're a victim, and you know that I'll never get better. Things will never change. I'm oppressed, and this is never, ever going to change. But that's not the way God looks at things. He calls you a victor. He has made you a victor. You are victorious in Christ Jesus. You are more than a conqueror. You overcome everything. When we follow after God and we do things his way, you will conquer. You will be victorious. No matter how long it takes, the righteous may fall 7 times, but what happens? They get up every time. Amen. So find scriptures like that to go back to and say, God, I fell again, but you are so good. I know you will raise me up and you are strengthening me every time. You know, God showed me this years ago, something else. Because we're more than conquerors and we can fall many, many times, but our God is so forgiving and so loving. It reminded me of a buoy in the water. Like if you're boating and, you know, you come into the dock area and they've got those buoys in the water. What happens if you hit one of those buoys? You know, you run right over it. It's going to go down, right? But what's going to happen when that pressure is off? Boing, it comes back up. And that's the way a Christian is. It's like, you might knock me down for a moment, but I'm not staying down. I'm getting back up. Amen. And that's the kind of attitude we're going to have in this time, because the pressure is on. The enemy is, he's persecuting. He's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to take you out. But what do you have to do? You have to stand strong. And if he does get you down, then you just jump back up and you get right back where you were doing what God has called you to do. Amen. I want to pray for you right now. God, I just pray for my listeners. I thank you, Abba, that you always cause us to triumph in you. God, I thank you that the enemy, that we are learning about his tricks, and God, you're making us strong. You're working us, God, to willing to act according to your good purpose and pleasure, and that we're not going to fall for those tricks. But God, if we do, I thank you that your blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. I thank you, God, that we are like that buoy, and we just bounce right back up, God, and we continue on with you, and we get stronger and stronger, and that distance distance in between those buoys going down gets longer and longer. I thank you, God, for healing us and taking us where we need to be for this time, God. Strengthening us, strengthen the body of Christ, God, that we may be what you called us to be from the very foundations of the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I'm giving you homework every week, right? So I got to give you homework today. I want to go back and look at 1 Peter 5:8. We looked at this our first week, and I'm going to read it. And then let's just kind of evaluate ourselves. Okay, 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion. Okay, like. You remember in school you learned about similes? It's like a roaring lion. Not that he is. Like a roaring lion. Okay, he is. If he's a lion at all his teeth have been pulled out. But he doesn't want you to know that. But he has no teeth. And the only power that he has is the power that we give him. So let's not give him any, okay? Okay, seeking whom he may devour. He's out looking. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. He does. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy from you. That's his plan. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Amen. My homework for you is to really watch yourself. Be mindful of what you're thinking about, what you're allowing in. And we all have to do this. None of us are above this. We all have to do this. And you know how often you have to do it? Every day, all day. Because the enemy is always there. He's always got his minions. He always has a plan. He might, you know, ease off a little bit here and there, and then boom, he's right at you. So what do you have to do? You've got to be ready. You have to be ready. You have to be a soldier. You are on the lookout. You are up there looking around. You are, you know, where are you? And I'm not going to let you get in my ground. You're not taking a thing from me. That has to be our attitude. You're not taking a thing from me. So let's be very attentive to what we're thinking about. And when you start, when you feel that you're going in the wrong direction, get that thought right back in order and remind yourself, no, I'm not thinking that. I'm not going there. That temptation, no, God, I submit to you. That's not what you want me to do. I'm resisting the devil and he has to flee. Even if you have to do that 50 times a day, it will get, you might have to do that 50 times, and then it's going to get shorter, shorter and shorter because you're renewing your mind, you're training yourself, you're walking in the ways of God. Amen? So things change. Matthew 6:25, it tells us, it says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Now the reason I bring that up is because he says, do not worry. And in the King James, it says, take no thought. Take no thought. So, you know, you've got lots of thoughts. They come around your head all the time. There's lots of thoughts. God thoughts, devil thoughts, carnal thoughts. There's lots of thoughts. Doesn't mean they're my thoughts. It's just a thought. But it says, take no thought. So if you take something, that means you have to reach out there and take it into yourself, right? I have to receive it. I don't have to take all those thoughts. It can be there and I'm like, stop for a moment. Is that a God thought? No. Let it go on by. That's not my thought. I'm not taking that. Nope. Not what I need. That's not going to help me. That's not going to bring God glory. That's going to take me away from God's plan. No, I take no thought. So see, it's hard work. This is hard work, but it's worth it because then you're going to stay on God's track where he wants you to be so you can occupy the land. And you remember Matthew 11, verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. See, it's not easy. This is not where I just tiptoe through the tulips and, you know, life is ease and there's no problems and life is never hard. No, we're in a war here. We're soldiers. We're in the army of God. And we do have to do warfare. We do have to take the kingdom by violence. And we're going to have to be violent because the enemy is violent. And we are not going to let him in. We're not going to let him take ground from us. We're not going to give him ground. We're going to take ground from him. But if we don't become violent in the spiritual realm, we're not going to do that. We're going to lay down. We're going to be passive. We're not going to go anywhere. We're just going to stay here. And then, you know, when Jesus comes back, we don't have anything. We don't have anybody to take with us. We can't say that, you know, I brought you glory. No, because I didn't do anything. I just sat on the sidelines and just, you know, every once in a while I cheered, yay, go team. But God wants you in the game. You know, I want to be in the game, don't you? I want to catch the ball. I want to run with the ball. I want to do something for God. So this week, really watch your thoughts. Watch what you're thinking about. Watch what you're looking at with your eyes, what you're hearing, where you're going. Is this what God wants you to do? Is this how you are to occupy until he comes? Is this how you are to stand strong? What are you to stand strong against? You got to know who you are and what you are to stand for. Get in your word. Find out. Amen? If we're going to do something, if we're going to take this land, we're going to occupy it, we're going to move forward, then we cannot be passive. We have to become passionate. Amen? We're going to look next at knowing what our weapons are. We're going to look at the armor of God for a week or two. We're going to look at that, and then we'll move on to something else, okay? So until next week, I'll see you again. This is Tina Howard from Glory to Glory Ministries. Let's learn together. Let's grow together. Let's go from glory to glory together.
Thank you for listening to From Glory to Glory Ministries today. We really appreciate your support of this podcast. Help us spread the truth of God's word by leaving us a review and sharing it with other believers who are hungry for more of God's word. Until next time, we encourage you to abide in his word, and he will abide in you, taking you from glory to glory in Jesus' name.